April 14, 2009 session of the House Subcommittee on Workforce Development. Welcome, everyone. We have on the docket here first a public hearing on House Bill 2951. I'm going to open that public hearing and just let folks know that this bill is likely to be replaced. Kevin, if you would just summarize the bill for us.
Chair Witt, members of the committee, before you is 2951. It modifies the qualification for a person to obtain a limited residential electrician's license and allows some rulemaking authority. It does declare an emergency, and the bill is effective on passage. And just so the committee knows, as the rumors that I'm hearing floating about is the manifestation of 2951 will be in the form of 3475. But that's the rumors that I'm hearing at this point. So.
And in the event that anyone showed up to and feels compelled to testify on House Bill 2951, which we are reasonably certain will be replaced, can raise their hand and come forward. Great. With that, seeing no one, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2951 and open a work session on House Bill 2398. Kevin, if you would, once I give you a second to shuffle your papers, if you'd give us a brief update on this bill.
Members of the committee, Chairman Witt, before you, HB 2398, committee bill that we've been working on. You'll recall that last Thursday we received testimony primarily focused on the career readiness certificate. Today's hearing is a continuation of that to express people's positions with respect to the bill. There were, after the hearing, you'll recall that the amendments that we received were late the day before, and so people, I guess, have had a chance to look at the bill. There were a couple of changes that have now been submitted to legislative council with respect to this. These include an emergency clause being added to it. The latter part of the bill, the last page 3 and 4, have been removed from the bill. It's more of a technical cleanup. We've also modified the bill to include a backdrop as to when the workforce, or rather the summer work program, would discontinue with respect to the funds that are available. Those are currently, as I understand it, being finalized by LC at this time. We do not, of course, have those before you right now. This bill has been once again scheduled for work session next Thursday with the hope that the amendments are here and that you all will reach a position with whether to move the bill accordingly. So, as we are right now, there are some additional people that are interested in testifying with respect to the bill.
Thank you very much. My apologies once again to those who were here at our last session and came to testify specifically, I think, on the CRC or Career Readiness Certificate portion. Would that be a crick?
It's a crick. Okay.
I take no position with respect to that.
We need to reevaluate this.
Who came to testify last time and were we're beat to the punch by the governor. So, and his signing actually of the first career readiness certificates here in the state. So, with that, as I say, those of you who showed up last time and were preempted, I apologize again, and would like to call up this morning first Greg White and Chris O'Neill, please. Greg has been before us already this session. Welcome back. Chris, your first appearance this session. Great to see you again.
Good to see you too, Mr. Chair.
Gentlemen, please decide between yourselves who goes first and proceed.
Do you want me to go?
No, football's over. Okay. good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. And for the record, my name is Chris O'Neill, and I've been a labor representative on the Oregon Workforce Investment Board for several years. I'm a registered nurse, a member of ONA, and I'm representing OWIB today. I'm not going to read the testimony because I found out this morning you're actually receiving a lot of positive testimony. I guess that what I'd like to add to it is perhaps a piece you haven't heard, which I do spend a little time detailing in the brief comments that are being distributed to you now. When I understood we were looking at certification as a means to help employers understand the value of a certificate that someone would bring to become employed, I wondered what the labor experience was for that, and I searched around and found that there were a couple organizations in the state of Oregon that had been experimenting with, had implemented this in the labor, a CRC, in the labor management environment. And as a labor representative, I thought that was my part of due diligence on OWIP. So I contacted one of the unions and talked with a person that was intimately involved in the adoption of this at one of the large employers in the state of Oregon, and found that while it had, like any program, some implementation challenges, it actually worked quite well. They were able to find ways to deal, for instance, with seniority, which you could imagine is a pretty important issue for labor organizations, in a way that was fair to both experience, but also recognize that in order for an organization to be successful and productive, they needed to have the right people in the right job with the right skills. So I found it very positive. Now, I was also saying, what's different? When we started this in 2006, the economic environment was so very different from it is today. So I was trying to think back and say, all right, what might be valuable for you making public policy decisions? I came up with two things. It's a struggle because this is such a positive thing. But if I were sitting in your seat and thinking this through from a public policy perspective, I'd be asking myself about timing. Might be difficult to make a case today that there's a high need for experienced people because so many occupations have lots of people that are not employed. So they're out there and employers can screen them and hire them. So you could make the case today. However, I think that the Oregon Employment Department has demonstrated that when the economy comes back, we're going to have a lot of significant shortages. Sitting on OWIB, we look at those figures on a regular basis. Key occupations in the state, including those in manufacturing, healthcare, also smart energy, top economic priorities for the state. We have serious shortages coming. So this is temporary and not structural, the unemployment that we have now. So that would be one issue. And the other is how much is business going to demand this? I've been listening to business reports for a long time. Not that this is my area of expertise, but I've sat on appropriate committees for a long time, and businesses do tell you they want better prepared applicants for the jobs, and that's consistent, report after report. What I'm less confident about is that if the state invests heavily, that they'll actually use this. And I think that one of the questions that's sitting out there for us, and you should perhaps receive reports on this, is which businesses or which parts of industry actually find this kind of certificate valuable. And that might lead you to consider how much investment is a reasonable investment. Now, I haven't paid attention to all the details and investment. You've changed the bill significantly from where it started, so I can't comment on all that. But my experience working with small businesses over the years is that they don't have a whole lot of human resource capacity, and Work Keys does require that a business think through its job descriptions and apply the appropriate tools for that. And so where's that money? Where's that time? Where's that sophistication come from? And it's the same for any human resource policy. So those are my comments for you today, and I hope that adds to your bank of knowledge and questions to make a good decision for us. And I would like to thank all of you for helping the state of Oregon in a very difficult time economically in our state.
Thank you very much, Chris. And I want to thank you, too, for coming this morning. There has never been once that we have asked for your assistance that you haven't been there. And I thank you, and I also thank the Oregon Nurses Association for making that possible as well, because we do realize that that is an imposition on your employer. And I just like everybody to know that when you discuss workforce development and you want to know where organized labor is on this issue, Chris O'Neill will be at the head of the list every time among those experts within organized labor on workforce development. Chris, I thank you so very, very much for being here. And I thank you for your years of service, not only to organized labor, but to the state of Oregon on the Workforce Investment Board.
Thank you, Representative Witt.
Greg?
Thank you, Representative Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Greg White. I'm executive staff to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. By the way, Representative Witt, I don't know if it's a crick. I guess it's better than a crook or a crack. Depends on what vowel you use. But I do appreciate the ability to the opportunity to come before you this morning and to talk a little bit about the importance of the Career Readiness Certificate. There are other portions of the bill, but I'd like to concentrate on that this morning. The Career Readiness Certificate had its origin in the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. Back in 2005 and 6, the board formed a manufacturing committee, which was tasked with coming up with a manufacturing strategy for the state. The Career Readiness Certificate, or a certificate to certify the skills of the workforce, was a major portion of their recommendations. The Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development took up that challenge, and they immediately formed a study group, and that study they did a study on the viability of such a certificate and which particular model would be the best that would be validated by business. They had focus groups with business people, and yes, it was overwhelmingly positive that such a certificate would be the best one. And among the competing models at the time, nationally, there were competing models of the Career Readiness Certificate, and it seemed like the WorkKeys based Career Readiness Certificate was the one that resonated most with employers. At the time, employers were saying that they could not be sure of the skills of high school graduates, even in Oregon. There was a recognized, compared to other states, lack of rigor in the high school diploma. That has been somewhat addressed, at least beginning to be addressed by the new diploma, which, of course, is not totally implemented yet. And there are many Oregonians without a high school diploma, and many of those are even from outside Oregon's borders. So employers do not know the skills of folks necessarily when they come to them and apply for jobs, and especially when skills are an important part of that job, higher skilled jobs, that becomes problematic. This is the main reason that the employers thought that this, at the time, that this would be a very good investment. At the time, the Oregon Workforce Investment Board put some of its scarce resources towards a career readiness certificate. There were implementation sites around the state, and these gradually turned into almost a regional implementation in the more wired region of the state, what's called the Wired, which is which is basically named for a grant, but it's the metro area and down the northern Willamette Valley. And that in that region, there are several places and businesses that are now using it, and a continuing cry from businesses that they would like to have it continue. As you heard from the testimony last Thursday, major business organizations and large employers and many small employers are thinking that this is a very good idea and are asking for it to be implemented. As you heard from Chris O'Neill earlier, there is right now, at this particular time, there are lots of skilled people who are looking for jobs, and the jobs aren't necessarily there. But we do assume that we will come out the other side of this downturn, and that makes me say that this is the perfect time to implement it, because we have a little time before that happens. I just wanted to let you know the importance of the certificate is that we will face again shortages of skilled applicants for jobs, and this will give another tool in the arsenal of workforce development to continue to develop the prosperity of Oregon through its skilled workforce. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Questions from the subcommittee? Comments? Yes, Representative Dembro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment that, the other thing that makes this certificate so valuable is that, many of the workers who've been laid off are people who've been out of school for quite a long time. They may have had an excellent education in high school, mm-hmm. They learn skills that they really haven't been using for many years. And suddenly they find themselves having to retrain into radically different professions, and they need those skills. Maybe they haven't done any math, say, for a long time. And it's a real challenge. And something that I think we really do need to recognize is how potentially frightening this can be for a person who's been laid off and is actually afraid of taking the work keys test, right? Because they don't want to find out what they're deficient in.
Right.
Somehow you need to address them very carefully and get them through that experience, through that test anxiety, and then give them some kind of productive plan for how they can be retrained and actually see this time off as a way of reinvesting in themselves.
Yes. Chair Representative Dembro, I totally agree with that. I think you're right on.
Yes, Representative Holby, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chris, you were speaking just real briefly about a lot of the smaller employers not really having the human resource capacity to really perhaps know about this program or utilize it. I guess I'm kind of curious what you see as the stumbling blocks for smaller employers to get, in a position where they can fully utilize the CRC program or such. I mean, what do you see as the stumbling blocks for small employers?
I can narrow it down to three things. My experience helping small employers for many years adopt prevention policies for substance abuse and then health promotion policies. The smaller the employer, three things begin to loom. One is cost. Is it going to cost us anything to implement this? And it's stacked up against all the other priorities that are urgent at the moment. And small businesses are often in an urgent situation. There's always something pushing that they need to do. Second of all is the administrative capacity in the organization. They are probably not experts. So you're bringing something to them that they may need to hire an expert to come in and help them implement the policy. Third is, where do I get the help? That seems like a small thing. Well, can't you go on the internet? Well, you can and get 2.5 million references. In other words, what's in place to help small businesses make it easy to begin to use a system like WorkKeys? And I think there are templates that can help many businesses and brief kinds of trainings that could be developed to assist small businesses with WorkKeys. But those are the kinds of things that make it difficult for businesses to say, I'm ready to do this. Even if it's a very good thing and a simple thing for them to do, being able to understand that and feel confident that they could implement it, they have to make a decision, and that confidence goes along with the decision. Does that help you understand?
Okay. No. Follow-up, please. Chair, I appreciate that comment. One of my concerns about, I fully support this program. I think it's a great step for us to take, but one of my concerns is employer participation, not just in work keys, but in the commitment to, you know, making positions available for entry-level people that need some more on-the-job training as such, because they're not, you know, the top producers automatically. It takes time, and sometimes, especially small businesses, are not as patient to, or can't afford the patience to, you know, get a worker, you know, fully integrated into a particular workplace. So I appreciate those comments, and I think they're worth noting that, you know, if as much as we can, and, you know, our state government can, you know, make it easier for employers to integrate those entry-level workers and to be able to use the program, you know, that's something we should really take to heart and see if there's some way we can, you know, help facilitate that. I don't know if we can do that without spending money, but, you know, we can always give them, you know, Cam Prius's phone number or something, I suppose.
Chair Witt, Representative Hovey, I'd like to follow up on your follow-up, if you don't mind. This is free to employers, at least for the present time. That's part of the way where the resources that are planned to go pay for the tests for the individuals. And, of course, when they come certified to the employers, there is no cost to the employer. It's a matter of a commitment from the employer to use it, just the way they would say, let's say, on their employment application, do you have a career readiness certificate, and a commitment to use it for hiring within their organizations, hiring and or promotion within their organizations. It's not only free, but I think there's a lot of business support, as you heard the other day. I mean, and one of the things that the Career Readiness Steering Committee is doing is coming up with a business plan and a very detailed rollout and plan to involve business from the get-go. And you heard Ryan Decker and Duncan Wise talk about that through their respective business organizations about the importance of business involvement, and so that will be part of the plan.
Additional questions or comments?
Gentlemen, thank you both very, very much. Certainly appreciate your appearance and your support. Next witness I'm going to call up is a person who helped me personally to kind of think through another portion of this bill. Committee members, you probably remember that this bill also includes a pilot program for applied learning in architecture, construction, and engineering. And we had heard very glowing reports about the ACE model, and it was something that we were all interested in, but I have to admit that I had some reservations. You know, was it possible for us to get partners to help with resources to get such a pilot program off the ground? And the next witness I'm going to call up, John Chandler, convinced me absolutely that if, with no other force but his own true grit,
yeah,
this thing was going to gain wings and fly. John, welcome.
Wish good looks, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, here in enthusiastic support of House Bill 2398, specifically the -2 amendments, and even more specifically, Section 4 of the -2s. I can't speak to the other things you heard from the education professionals and the workforce training professionals. I can speak to the part that the chair was just referring to about the pilot programs and getting youngsters in the high schools engaged in the trades, and I'm very pleased to report I had a board meeting last Friday and Saturday, and we approved moving forward and hopefully being one of the first pilot programs under this. I've already talked with Director Preuss about that, no details yet, but as I think I've mentioned in earlier testimony, we have 15 local associations all around Oregon: Urban, Rural, Portland, Roseburg, Coos Bay, Bend, Hermiston, and probably half of those were in the room when this decision was made at our board meeting. We're excited about the possibilities. We've talked about it internally for a long time, about starting a future builders association or some other sort of model. It ties in exactly with what this bill says in terms of getting public-private partnerships, working with mentors in the industry. We already have a student chapter at Oregon State of the National Association of Home Builders. We hopefully are looking at talking to rural community and other secondary institutions around Oregon to set up student chapters there. Setting up these pilot programs at the high school level will feed wonderfully into what we'd like to do long term, which is, as we discussed in earlier testimony, getting more young people exposed to the possibilities of careers in construction, be it architecture, engineering, the building trades. There's a lot of good money to be made there, family wages, jobs, their very successful lives, parts of the community, et cetera, and so forth, that have heretofore kind of gone off to the side because they weren't college prep. We'd like to do our little part to help reverse that. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. I was kind of disappointed earlier when it looked like it might not quite get traction. I'm very excited now that we'll be able to hopefully work with the department in moving forward over the next year. We're glad to take any questions. Thank you again for this good piece of legislation.
John, thank you very much. And again, this bill has traction because of folks like you who have supported us throughout this process. And you've been a great help to me. And certainly appreciate the home builders being at the forefront and willing to help launch this this pilot program. Thank you so much. Vice Chair Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Witt. John, I think you left out the charm part, actually, the boyish good looks and charm. I know there are some vagaries in the bill, but I'm kind of curious, are you going to approach this trying to replicate some of the models in just one community first, or are you going to try to pilot three around the state, or what are your thoughts?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, certainly open to discussion on all that. We haven't given it that much thought, and I have not talked to the director with any kind of detail. I think we stand ready to start up as many as the system would bear right now, just because we already have the local infrastructure in place, was my point. We have my current president, for example, is a builder from Roseburg, from Douglas County. He has taught at the community college level. He's taught the high school level. He has a very similar passion for this sort of an issue. And he's already told me that he'd be more than happy to use their chapter as one of the pilot programs to make that happen. The Portland Association already owns a portion of the Northwest Construction College, and so getting involved in some of the, with AGC and ABC and I think the underground contractors, you heard testimony about that program and on previous bills. So they're ready to roll into the high school. So we're frankly just excited about the possibility, because one of the things we've identified with our industry is how hard it is to find kids who understand this trade, the trades even exist as a career path, as opposed to just something they do after they take English Lit and find out there's no work. We'd like to start pushing back on that, and frankly, I don't want to overstate, we don't have any money right now, but we will.
Please follow up, Mr. Chair. And I admit this might be a Sager question, and he's conspicuously absent this
morning.
I've
got his proxy.
Okay.
That should get him down here.
The first ACE Academy that is kind of the model. And John, if you answer for James on the record, then he's got to do it, right? So,
I know it works out.
We're good there. I committed Morgan Allen to something the other day on the record. The original ACE Academy is a charter school within multiple school districts. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
And I believe the federal program is still in place, and I could be speaking out of turn here, but I think the federal program is still in place that supports the creation of charter schools with several hundred thousand dollars in getting them started up. So I was kind of curious if, because ACE Academy is a charter school model, if you go to the hosting school district or your associate members go to the hosting school district, I would think there would need to be buy-in if we truly do an ACE Academy model like we have in the Portland area. But by it being a charter school, would there be federal money to make it easier to do three or four of these pilots around the state rather than going to Cam and asking her for the money?
You're gagging behind me. We actually, frankly, hadn't thought about a charter school aspect. The language of the bill, as I read it, would allow an ACE Academy, but it would also allow a future builders chapter and setting up a shop class, just with kind of those narrow pointed, and that's where we were actually focusing our thinking. Would not rule out something more comprehensive. And I think I mentioned earlier testimony, I'll be very brief. I just hired an education person in my association, and when I went looking for one, I thought I'd go hire a shop teacher, and it turned out there were very few. they were thin on the ground, which I hadn't paid any attention since I was taking ag classes in high school. I mean, hasn't been an occasion for me to. I was saddened to see how badly we had decimated the ranks of vocational education, shop, ag, wood shop, auto shop, home economics, you name it. So we were just thinking simply of the very limited task of getting construction classes, trade, wood shop, metal shop, those electrical, into the high school. Absolutely open to something larger than that. It's my intention in terms of the money to approach our National Association for a grant once Director Poyce and I have a chance to chat, probably at their board meeting this coming fall, because they have grant money available for these kinds of projects through what they call the University of Housing through our national folks. But at this point, this is, I think, the early stages of what could be very creative sets of work around the state. And it may or may not turn into an ACE Academy. It may just be giving kids in working as a chance to take metal shop.
In addition to that, John, I had started investigating around the state until somebody opened the floodgate last week, and we just kind of got busy. Actually, Representative Dembro had something to do with that the last few days in the email load that we're bearing. But anyway, but I digress. I was checking with certain school districts to see what it would take to get shop classes back in, and I was chastised for calling them shop classes instead of career and technical, but you know, today's modern terms, I apologize. But anyway, I found out that Maupin is an example, and I ran into another school district that actually have their shop still intact. It's just been mothballed. The room is there, it's just table saws that are dust covered, and they're cleaning those off and starting out in a small way to in Maupin, for example, the class is initially going to be offered to seniors. So it's a start, but I'm finding out that one of the questions I had was, you know, what happened to all the equipment? Did these shop classes just, did they have a yard sale and sell off the table and bandsaws, or what happened? And I'm finding that there are some schools out there that actually have the shops still in place. They just lost the funding and lost their teacher. One of the ideas that I've been trying to float has been the use of ESDs, since we don't have many shop teachers, and maybe we don't offer shop to the wide array that we used to. Maybe we hold it down to two classes or three classes a day and have an ESD instructor that would be the circuit riding shop instructor. And so that's something I've been trying to float around too, so that we could help. Of course, if Senator Haas gets his way and our ESDs shrink to 11, that circuit might be fairly lengthy to go from Madras to Lakeview, but we'll work on those details.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, if it's during fishing season or hunting season, that circuit might fit in very nicely with our other activities.
In my district,
I think, yeah. Frankly, I think I may have mentioned an earlier testimony, we gave some money to the Neocony High School construction program from the Tillamook Association when it folded up. I think there's a lot of money out there potentially, and I have no idea the scope of how much it costs to hire and all that. I do know that from a manufacturing standpoint, or for the equipment standpoint, it's been a long time since we've approached these folks, the Craftsmans and the Protos and the Rigids and the whatnots, just to get tools into the shop. As I mentioned before, if I don't buy Craftsman tools, I'm conscious of the fact that I'm not buying Craftsman tools, simply because I grew up in a shop class where we use Craftsman tools. And I think you can approach these companies, once you make the commitment back to this being a valid form of educational opportunity. And I think that's the most important thing about this bill, Mr. Chairman, then I'll hush up. I think the signal we're starting to send with this bill, and I'm very passionate about this, and I apologize for that, I think we've done such a disservice to our children for the last several generations in essentially telling them, if you don't go to a four-year institution, if you don't get a degree in the liberal arts or something else, then you're somehow, you have the big loser L on your forehead, and that's complete nonsense, and it's insulting to everybody in the trades, and it's not doing our kids a service. And as I mentioned before, one of the things that has come to me, because I grew up in a small town and went to a small high school and took all these shop classes and took vocational agriculture and all that stuff, I'm not working in the trades. But I can build things, and I can fix things, and I can teach my kids how to fix things. And we've raised an entire generation of kids who can't build a birdhouse with their child. And that's just wrong. And a bill like this, and the emphasis that the director's putting on it, and that hopefully all of you will continue to put on it, may help us turn that corner even slightly to opening up some opportunities for our youngsters that they don't have now because we've made some, I think, inadvised choices over the years. I'll get back off the soapbox. But thank you very much. Good bill. Should pass. Yay, team.
Anything further? Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pretty happy to hear that the L's disappearing off my forehead. I wanted to follow up with Representative Huffman's questions. Is in my district, I know there are several high schools that do have mothballed shop classes just sitting dusty. And, you know, they're there, and it takes, you know, revenue for a teacher, I assume, at some level or not. And I know those folks are out there, and the Department of Education has the ability to certify professionals as teachers with some experience and some training and educational courses. So I don't think we're that far away from that. And I just wanted to comment, you know, the ACE Academy model is an excellent model, no doubt about it. But I think what Mr. Chandler is referring to is also really a great step in just focusing on trying to provide, you know, some specific classes or opportunities within specific schools. And, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and that's going to be valuable, you know, down the road. So I think those models aren't exclusive of each other. I think they're actually quite compatible. So I would support either model. Thank
you. And I think Vice Chair Huffman's point that he was making, that at every turn, if we can offer a sweetener, if we can sweeten that pot just a little bit with a little bit of money to assist that that school or the school district or the ESD or whoever it is, to be able to dust that equipment off and get an instructor into that shop, then so much the better, because it's just going to make it a little easier for a lot of these school districts who probably have lost all of their infrastructure, short of hopefully they got a little equipment left and a room to get this thing off the ground.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holley, just one last follow-up point. I know that the educational certification process and all that is a thicket, and I don't want to wander too far off the trail into it. I do know that there are people in the trades who can teach that aren't just trade people, but they can communicate their skill. They rise to the top in any company, whether they're plumbers or electricians or carpenters or laborers. They rise, and those people you can identify, and if they're willing to do so, have them mentoring with these kids in high school situations. That's all you really need, is someone, whether you have the right certification or not, the skills to be able to communicate their trade to these kids. That's what we're looking for, and I think you're absolutely right, Representative Hovey. There's a bunch of those folks out there. We just need to create the environment in which they can participate. And I'll get back on the path now, because I understand there's always a bunch of issues associated with that sort of thing. I really am, and this is, as I say, something I've been passionate about for many years. And I told you before, my personal path, I had a choice between learning sheet metal, getting my journeyman's card in sheet metal, and going to law school. I chose law school, but it wasn't necessarily the right choice or a wrong choice. It was an option I had available to me, and I could have had a very productive life had I stayed with sheet metal and wouldn't be annoying you folks. I was fortunate in that I had that choice available to me.
Mr. Chair.
Many people do not. I think we can change that. This is an incremental start. It's a start towards that process.
And sometimes all it takes is just asking those folks. Many of them might like an opportunity to do that. Vice Chair Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Witt. And sometimes it just takes a person with passion, and Representative Holvig's exactly right. It's, you know, maybe it's not a full-blown ACE Academy somewhere, but and you and I have worked a little bit together on some contacts in the Gorge area, and there's a guy named Brian in the Dallas School District 21, and he had a passion for youth and getting a building program going, and on his own he contacted State Farm. I don't know why he contacted State Farm, but he got two grants out of them. And he has a new home building class going, and they're on their second house this school year. And they build a house each school year now, and have hopes of turning around, selling it, and making a little profit and reinvesting that. But sometimes just a person with passion in one district or one region is all it takes.
Additional questions or comments? John, thank you very much for your ongoing support. Let's see, the last person that I have on the list. Well,
The last person that I have on today's list is Duke Shepherd from the Oregon AFL-CIO. Welcome, Duke.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Duke Shepherd, AFL-CIO. I wouldn't have much more to add than Mr. Chandler, which I don't know how often that happens, but that is the career technical careers that have been lost in high schools are incredibly important. We have union apprenticeship programs that do an incredible job, but we've got to have kids interested. And if at 13 you're told, well, if you don't go to college, good luck to you. I think as Mr. Chandler said, for him, sheet metal and law school were equal choices. We need to make sure that people growing up see those as co-equal choices, that they want to have a good job, they want to have a good career, they want to have some skills, and hopefully they like hard work, then there are multiple paths for them. And while demand might be down now, over time it's sure going to come back, and we're going to have the needs for these jobs, and we're going to need new people to do them. So great work. Thank you. Good bill. Should pass.
Thank you very, very much, Duke. Questions or comments? Representative Dembro?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Duke, I actually have a question for you, not in your AFL-CIO capacity, but your Mount Hood capacity. You're also on the board at Mount Hood, as I understand, Mount Hood Community College.
That's right. I got to be careful, though.
Don't worry. I'm not going to put you on the spot that way. following up on what my email overwhelmed colleague over here was saying about partnerships, thinking in terms of ESDs and schools getting together, the ACE Academy kind of model. I think Mount Hood has been involved in some ways with some of these programs, and what do you see the role of, what would you as a community college board member like to see your college getting involved in terms of partnerships for career education like this with the high schools?
Wow. Mr. Chair, Representative Dembro, Cam, I apologize if I create any problems right here.
you're a citizen
honestly,
leader now.
Honestly, I would just say more. I think And that sounds easy. I mean, the ACE Academy is actually the superintendent of the school district I live in runs the thing, former superintendent. So I'm very familiar with that, and that is certainly one model. I think it's being committed to doing it as a primary function, not a secondary one, that it's not sort of a side business you got to do. You know, we have at Mount Hood, we have partnerships with union apprenticeship programs, and that's one way to do it. The ACE Academy is another thing to do. So I think the emphasis that you're talking about now, putting on earlier, helps build some momentum toward that. I do think, and I would just say from Mount Hood, that in many ways, I'll get myself in trouble here, but that is a college that in some ways let time pass it by over the last 10 to 15 years. And we're trying to turn that around and do more things, do them better, with more focus on outcomes and innovation and what's best for the economy and what's best for students. And I think that overall is what needs to happen, that it's sort of shaken off the old ideas of the way things used to be done and the way they ought to be, done based on that, and looking ahead toward what the needs of the economy are and what opportunities should be there for students. Was that rambling, babbling?
No, you, I think, fulfilled my hopes totally. Dude.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything further?
Duke, thank you very, very
thank
much,
you, Mr.
sir.
Chair.
I appreciate that. And I think the last person today is Cam Preuss. Are you pinch hitting for others this morning? Or?
Sir. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Cam Preuss, Director of the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And if I might start, I think we all need to take a moment and recognize the hard work of your committee staff, Kevin Christensen, to get this bill in front of you. I know we did that last week, but I didn't want to let it pass by that we wouldn't be at the place we are had he not shouldered a lot of the responsibility to put together a new bill that has broad support. When we were here on Thursday, we did have a room full of folks, and several of them could not return this morning. And so we do have some written testimony that asked be placed into the record, and I'm not sure in which order Keith is passing it out, but you should have Cindy Rieger. She's the two-pager. Is that coming now? Okay, thank you. She's the administrator of the Sheet Metal Joint Apprenticeship Training Council up in Portland, and I will not read her testimony to you, but what I know is that Mr. White did speak about the Career Readiness Certificate Steering Committee. We actually had one of our meetings up in Portland at the Northwest Construction College. Mm-hmm. Do I have that right? Close?
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yes. Pacific Northwest College of Construction, I think. And Cindy was there, and she was explaining to us that her apprenticeship council had determined that the assessment for entering that particular apprentice training would be a silver CRC. And that was the first that we had been apprised of an apprenticeship council actually using that as a, if you will, an entrance requirement. And when she was here last Thursday, as we spoke, and an aside that she's now having this conversation with other apprenticeship councils because they see it as a very viable way of, I think you've already had this discussion, of looking at adults who may have a diploma, who may have been working for some time, may have some college, but nothing that's certificated, as a way of really knowing what applied skill and knowledge an individual has. So I look forward to, and I think she does too, at how these students do compared to perhaps other ways in which they have assessed in the past in completing the apprenticeship training. The other individual who is... I'm sorry.
Kim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is Cindy at the college actually using that as an entrance exam, or is the plan to start using the CRC as an entrance exam or along with something of sorts? Or I mean, I understand they could probably do it at the WorkSource Center and bring the certificate to the school.
Chair Witt and Representative Huffman, my understanding is they do it themselves there. They have the facilities to have the proctors so that the CRC can be done on site.
That is exciting.
Mm-hmm. But they certainly, if an individual came to them with a CRC that had been earned either at a community college or a WorkSource Oregon site, I'm sure they would accept it. But as they're beginning this, what I think they thought was a pilot, they have just been very pleased with the results to date. The other, as I was going to say, the other individual who was going to speak to you was Janice Chandler. She is also a precision cast part structural. She works with Eileen Drake, who did have a chance to testify. Janice is a human resource manager. She comes to Oregon from South Carolina, one of the early implementing states of the CRC. And I cannot do her justice because she has the most lovely southern accent. But she is also a member of the CRC Steering Committee and just an avid supporter of how businesses can use the Career Readiness Certificate for hiring and promotional opportunities. And so her testimony here is quite brief, but I did want to let you know that she's on assignment in Redmond, Oregon, in their facility there, so she chose not to fly back again. And last but not least was Catherine Bartlett, and she's the executive director of a youth program called HALO in Polk County, and I'm not going to show you hers, but what I'm hoping this does illustrate is you have the business perspective and the value of the CRC, the apprentice perspective of workers, and then you have someone who runs a youth program and the real beauty, if you will, of engaging students in knowing their skills and getting the best job possible with those skills or improving those skills. I didn't want to leave the table without having a little bit of discussion about the budget. I know you're a substantive policy committee, and this will have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And I did tell you last week that I did talk about the program option package that the department put together for the career readiness certificate as part of our budget. It was in the governor's recommended budget at $3.35 million of general fund. Our plan for that resource, and it was... Mr. White spoke to this as well in his testimony, that in the implementation and perhaps for some time to come, the bulk of this budget is the purchasing of the assessment itself, the training of proctors, and the ability so that businesses, small businesses, large businesses, have access to the certificate without the cost. And it's definitely an allowable expense under the Workforce Investment Act. The budget includes two individuals inside CCWD to do the legwork and the technical assistance to move a program like this to from a half a dozen pilots to statewide implementation. So we have two people to do that, project manager, and then a program analyst to help with that. We currently have a steering committee that is has broad-based representation of business and labor and every different kind of workforce hat you could think of to have at the table. We want to make sure that we have broad-based buy-in. And as I said, the bulk of the budget is for purchasing of the assessment, purchasing the online curriculum to raise skills. It does have a marketing component, although it's not as robust as you might expect because you heard from both Ryan Deckard at OBA and Duncan Weiss at OBC, and they have pledged to help us with the financing of the marketing and outreach. So I wanted to just make sure that you knew that we had been thinking about and planning for a statewide implementation, and very much appreciate having the statutory legs to stand on to do that.
Thank you very, very much. Sounds like our partners are already stepping up to the plate. Questions or comments for Commissioner Price? Yes, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not really a question, but perhaps a comment. You know, I did speak with the Cindy about the apprenticeship after the committee, and I think that the CRC is a good model for to help with the screening. But I just wanted to note, you know, that there are a lot of apprenticeship programs that committees that already are in existence who have put a lot of money into their own assessment tests. So there is a model out there similar to the CRC already in the private sector, where they do use you know, assessment tests and also interviews and work experience in trying to qualify people to get into apprenticeship programs. So, you know, not that I'm begrudging the use of a state-funded program to assist businesses all over. I just wanted to note that there are programs out here who have done this very thing with private dollars already. So it's not exactly the same thing as the CRC, but very similar in concept and probably in results as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Dembrough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, with respect to the budget camp, so do you mentioned that there were workforce dollars available. So those would be non-general fund that...
Chair Witt and Representative Dembrough, yes, our original request was for general fund, but given the state of Oregon's revenue and yesterday's announcement of our unemployment rate, we are going to use some of the ARRA funds that are coming with the federal stimulus for phase one, but that's not sustainable. So it would be a right now our plan is to use a portion of what's called the Governor's Reserve of the Workforce Investment Act to support the rollout and implementation long term.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to choose between purchasing the software and doing the data registry, I mean, is that a choice you're going to have to make?
Chair Witt, Representative Dembrough, I don't believe so. They come part and parcel.
Okay.
The infrastructure support that is provided by ACT and WorkKeys includes the database. So we don't have to develop our own. We can use one that currently exists.
Okay. And then finally, with respect to Cindy's testimony, first of all, if you could communicate to her just how valuable this is, you know, the detail and the information. I was struck by the number of applicants who got at least a bronze score on this, on their test. You know, there were 30 applicants and 25 actually completed the assessments and 23 got a silver or above, the others bronze. And I was struck by her comment that a number of the students actually had better skills than they thought they had. And that's something I'd like to look into more, that for some of these students, the impediment for them was not their skill, but their lack of having had high school algebra. But somehow they had picked up the necessary skills. We've been kind of talking about, the opposite problem, people taking the test or people who are applying for apprenticeship or considering apprenticeship who don't have the skills. But this suggests that there may be more people out there who have the skills than we would think, who might have developed them in non-traditional kinds of ways. Having said that, though, I'm wondering, you may not know the answer to this, if the people who took this test had some kind of pre-apprenticeship training program, had done a kind of skill center or something like that that may have gotten them to this point in some other way.
Chair Witt, Representative Dembrough, to this particular incidence, I cannot speak, but just in visiting with Cindy, I don't believe so, and certainly our experience in some of our other pilots, particularly at Lebanon High School, where we had juniors and seniors who volunteered to take the assessment. Here comes my safe. Better. The test takers themselves always are a little shy about the math portion particularly, and are surprised, positively surprised at how they end up doing. We actually find that in lots of assessments that include math, because there's this, I think, false expectation that you have to be good at math to score well in an applied context. And your point that much of it is learned on the job or in that applied context, and they know way more than they think they know, comes out very strongly in these kinds of assessments. We see the same with in high schools when they use the ACT with sophomores and juniors to have them say, well, how prepared am I for college or work? And when the test scores come back, it's not just the individuals that are surprised, but it's the teachers who are surprised that students that they didn't think had the knowledge and skill for a higher level work actually do. And so I think that it will help everyone know their skill and likely feel much better about their skill.
Our life experiences have significant input on our overall educational attainments. Anything further for the commissioner? Kim, thank you so very, very much once again. Is there anyone else who would be interested in testifying on this bill? Bill Hooding, come on forward, please. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, sir. Chair Witt, committee for the record, Bill Footing, Partners Industrial Council. We're touching on the edges of our problem. I think it's time we took a long look at what's really happened in our state. President Huffman, you touched on bases. President Hovey, the shop classes are shuttered, shut down, closed in our high schools. Every year we come in here and you set through revenue and you find out that our K-12 costs, I'm probably going to be stepping on some toes here, but our K-12 costs are among the highest in the nation. Our results coming out the other end, our graduating is we're in the bottom part of the nation. In order to bring this, instead of just moving pieces around at the top, I mean, we got people that should be coming out of high school should become wage earners or in the apprenticeship programs where they're earning wages, but no, it takes months for them to get their GEDs. They can't even start their community college classes without their GED, or they got to take part of their time to get their GEDs. We've lost the infrastructure in two-thirds of this state. The last month I've sat down with almost 500 displaced mill workers, nowhere for them to go. Workforce development is a very, very key thing to bring this state back on its feet, but again, if I had all the answers, I'd have them wrote down for you, sir, but I think it's going to take a very serious, dedicated group from the top down. I mean, the governor's going to have to get involved. We're going to have to find out what direction Oregon wants to go. And again, I think it's our K-12. Is the start. It's a key. It's a key that we turn seniors out ready to go, whether it's on to college or into the industrial sector. Again, I wish I had the answers for you, but I don't. But it's going to take. We just can't keep going the way we're going. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Bill, thank you very much, and with a lot of other great Oregonians like yourself, we're going to continue to try and do the very best job in this legislature that we possibly can, given the resources that we have. And I think, as you pointed out, this is a start. It's a good start. It's an effort to make our workforce more competitive, to make our employers more competitive, to bring that match of work skills, what the workers have with what the employers need. And your points about education in Oregon, our point on
And that is how we will be preparing our future workforce. It is how we will guarantee that our state is able to remain competitive in a global workforce. And I thank you for your comments, and I will encourage you to continue to be our conscience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I'm not seeing anything.
Paul Grove.
Oh, Paul Grove, please. I'm sorry, I missed that. Thank you, Vice Chair Huffman.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Grove, and I'm with the Economic Development Department, and I'm here to lend the department support for this bill. You know, we look forward to partnering with Community College of Workforce Development and CAM on this initiative and any opportunity in which we can lend our support and help on this important issue. We look forward to doing that and to meet the needs and the demands of business and industry. And like I said, when and where we can partner, you know, we're more than willing to lend our support.
Thank you so very much. Questions or comments? Thank you, Paul, very much. Certainly appreciate that. I am going to carry over the work session to Thursday. This bill is ready to go with one major technicality. We don't have the paperwork back from LC yet, so we're going to have to...
minor details.
Details. with that, we're going to carry this bill over to Thursday, and I am going to close the work session on House Bill 2398. Kevin, coming attractions, please.
Coming attractions. On Thursday, we're going to, of course, have 2398 back up again. We also have two other bills. 3127 will be before us, as well as 2429. I understand there's some amendments that we're looking to get on that as well, but those will be our projects for Thursday. We will do what we can about getting the paperwork so we can move this out.
Okay. Anything for the good of the order today? Not seeing anything. With that, we stand adjourned till Thursday. Thank you very much, everyone.